Chapter 11. The Avatar. In the Hindu religion, an avatar is an extraordinary being, a miraculous embodiment of the divine in human form, incarnating for the welfare of mankind. By definition, the avatar manifests 16 special qualities. The most profound, and those which clearly distinguish him from mortal man, are his complete mastery and transcendence of the physical world, including the ability to materialize objects at will, qualities of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence, the capacity to manifest a flow of pure and inexhaustible love, and a special grace which transcends all conditions of karma, compensation required for acts done in the past, manifesting in his ability to miraculously transform a person's life by an act of divine will. The last full avatar in the Hindu religion is traditionally believed to have been Krishna, who lived about 5,000 years ago. Sai Baba makes this distinction between an avatar and a spiritual aspirant or spiritually evolved individual. The latter two may evolve through spiritual practice to higher levels of self-realization, perhaps even developing siddhis or yogic powers. The avatar, by contrast, is born with full awareness. Rather than being born on earth and ascending heavenward or to more highly evolved planes of existence, the avatar, already fully divine, chooses to descend earthward. The actions of the avatar are fully free. They are not bound or determined by karma. His life is an act of love, a great play, a pure expression of the divine. His task is the granting of peace and joy, of a sense of fulfillment to seekers who have striven long, the fostering of Dharma, righteousness, the suppression of evil, the overwhelming of the wicked, the descent of God to earth, the incarnation of the formless with form, is the concretization of the yearning of the seekers. It is the solidified sweetness of the devotion of godly aspirants. The avatar is believed to have clear consciousness of past, present, and future, with complete awareness of his mission and the course of his life. Controlling the location and family of his birth, he chooses to be incarnated in order to bring love to the physical world and to uplift its spiritual consciousness. Baba declares that he himself is a full avatar and that his appearance on earth has been prophesied in sacred literature, including the Bible. Sai Baba was born in Puttaparthi, a remote village in southern India, on November 23, 1926, and given the family name of Satyanarayana Raju. Stories of the family and villagers tell of miracles which began to occur shortly before his birth. Musical instruments in the family home, for example, are said to have played by themselves. Another unusual incident is said to have occurred shortly after the baby was born. Someone noticed movement under his blankets on the floor, and he was quickly snatched up. Discovered beneath the blanket was a deadly cobra, which for some reason had not harmed the baby. The cobra, coincidentally or not, is the symbol of Shiva, of Hinduism's Holy Trinity. From early childhood, it was apparent that young Satya was quite different from his playmates. Although his family ate meat, he himself was a natural vegetarian who abhorred the thought of killing animals. He was extremely helpful to all in the village, doing work unselfishly, frequently bringing beggars home to be fed by his parents, though they often scolded him for what they felt to be unwarranted generosity on his part. He was called Guru by his playmates, leading them in devotional songs before school, and fascinating and amusing them by taking candy and playthings from an apparently empty bag. Then a mysterious incident occurred when Satyanarayana was 13. One day, while playing outside, he leaped into the air with a shriek, holding his bare foot. His family feared that he had been stung by a scorpion and would not survive. But he slept that night without apparent pain or sickness. Then, 24 hours later, he fell unconscious and remained so for a day. When he awoke, his behavior was strange, alternating between periods of unconsciousness and what appeared to be trance-like states. He began chanting and quoting long Sanskrit passages of poetry and philosophy far beyond the scope of his formal education. At times, he became stiff and appeared to those around him to leave his body, then described distant places which his parents said he had never visited, and people whom, to their knowledge, he had never known. He laughed and cried, explained complicated religious doctrines. Could he be possessed by evil spirits? Satya endured a period of torture as his parents took him to exorcists throughout the countryside. One famous and feared exorcist, to whom the boy's demon had become a personal challenge, shaved Satya's head and cut three crosses into his skull, then poured caustic material into the wound and into his eyes until they were swollen almost shut. Finally, his parents could stand no more of this ordeal and called a stop to it, though their son had apparently not been cured. Baba subsequently stated that he was demonstrating at this time that he is beyond pleasure and pain, beyond duality. He has disclosed that there was, in fact, no actual scorpion sting. Quote, "No such bite could create a Satya Sai Baba, and if it could, then scorpions should be objects of the highest veneration and worship." End quote. 2 months later, after the supposed sting in May 1940, Satya's father saw a crowd gathering around his son. He appeared to be manifesting candy and fruit out of thin air, and many people were falling to the ground, calling him an incarnation of God. Confused and frustrated by his son's strange behavior, and now by this display of sleight of hand, or worse, black magic, Satya's father picked up a stick and approached threateningly. "Who are you? Who are you?" he demanded angrily. In a calm but firm voice, the boy announced, "I am Sai Baba." Then he proceeded to relate how he had chosen this particular family for his incarnation, in answer to the prayers of a devout ancestral sage. He was, he said, the reincarnation of a little-known but much-respected Muslim holy man named Sai Baba of Shirdi, who dressed like a Muslim but wore ash on his forehead like a Hindu. The original Sai Baba had died 8 years before Satya was born. The length of time he had reportedly told his devotees would elapse before his reincarnation. Naturally, it was difficult for many in the village to accept this boy, unusual and charming though he was, as the actual reincarnation of a man regarded by his followers as a saint. Young Satyanarayana was beginning to be quite a mystery indeed. Then a couple of months later, on Thursday, Guru Day in India, a group of questioning villagers approached him, pleading, "Show us a sign." With a quick and unexpected gesture, Satya threw a bunch of jasmine flowers onto the floor. There, it is reported, they clearly spelled out in Telugu script, the language of the village, "Sai Baba." Soon afterwards, Satya Sai Baba told his family that he belonged with them no longer, that his devotees were calling, and that he had to leave. He left school in October of his 13th year and began to gather followers around him. They grew in number until he became necessary to establish an ashram where many could live with their guru and where those seeking his guidance could meet with him. The construction of Prashanti Nilayam, abode of eternal peace, continues even to the present in an attempt to accommodate Sai Baba's swelling number of devotees. Here, and at Vrindavan, his summer residence, Baba has received millions of people from India and around the world. Sai Baba says that his name is significant. Sai denotes the female aspect of the universe, and Baba the male aspect, the full name denoting the wedding of the two. He has also proclaimed that he is the manifestation of both Shiva and Shakti aspects of the universe, the male-female aspects of the divine. To some, he seems to manifest both of these qualities, his movements at once delicate and flowing, powerful and commanding. Baba speaks frequently about the life of Shirdi Sai Baba, manifesting pictures of him for his followers and further illustrating his ties to the saint by materializing vibhuti or sacred ash. Shirdi Sai Baba had also distributed ash to his devotees, but did it from a fireplace which was constantly lit. Now Sai Baba of Puttaparthi evidently has this fire burning in another dimension, into which, with a simple wave of his hand, he reaches to draw forth a seemingly unlimited supply of sacred ash. Most of the miracles attributed to Jesus Christ have reportedly been accomplished by Sai Baba. His followers believe him to be beyond time and space, unbound by the laws of physics. Well-documented reports by reliable eyewitnesses, many of which appear throughout this book, would seem to show that Baba is able to read minds and see into past and future, to transport himself anywhere in the world instantaneously, and to be in many places at once, to transform himself into different forms, and to influence the elements, such as stopping rainstorms, creating winds, instantly nullifying impeding catastrophes. There are accounts of his taking the physical illness or injury of another upon himself in order to preserve the individual's health or save his life, becoming physically ill in his place and then curing himself instantaneously. Other reports tell of his healing by materializing surgical instruments, which he himself uses with expert skill, or by actually manifesting himself in the body of a surgeon to perform critical operations. There is virtually no illness which he is not reported to have cured, and there is evidence that he has even brought a devotee back from death. Yogi Sudananda Bharati, a famous Indian mystic poet of southern India, said while addressing a conference in which Sai Baba had presided, quote, "I have practiced yoga for 50 years. I once observed the laws of silence for over 20 years. I have come in contact with Sri Shirdi Baba, Sri Ramana Maharshi, Sri Aurobindo, Sri Meher Baba, and others. As a result of this sadhana spiritual practice, I have now met Sri Satya Sai Baba." End quote. Baba says, quote, "I came because the good men of the world, the wise, the sadhu, and the sadaka spiritual aspirant, the guru and godly, panted for me. May the pure and righteous rejoice." End quote. The following is a quotation from the book Sai Baba, Man of Miracles, by Howard Murfitt. Quote, on the evening of June 28, 1963, Baba asked Mr. N. Kasturi, his interpreter and biographer, an historian and close devotee, to announce at the ashram that no more interviews would be granted for a week. Early the next morning, Baba suddenly fell unconscious. Initially, the devotees close to him thought that he had simply gone into a trance, as he had often done in the past when supposedly traveling in his subtle or astral body to bring urgent assistance to a devotee somewhere. These trances had been known to last a few hours, but this time Baba remained unconscious for a much longer time until his devotees became apprehensive and summoned medical help. In addition to a doctor at the ashram hospital, Dr. Prasna Simba Rao, assistant director of medical services at Mysore State, was called from Bangalore. He writes, after describing the symptoms fully, quote, the differential diagnosis of such conditions pinned me down to that of tuberculosis meningitis, with perhaps a tuberculoma, tumor-like mass of inflammatory tissue due to tuberculous infection, silent for a long time, end quote. When the doctor tried to give the treatment indicated by this diagnosis, Baba seemed to regain consciousness and refused the injections and other medical assistance. The trouble, he said, would pass in 5 days' time. A devotee at a distance was about to experience a stroke and a heart attack severe enough to kill him, Baba said. He had decided to take on this illness with all its symptoms of paralysis, heart seizures, partial loss of eyesight, high temperatures and severe physical pain, to save the devotee from suffering and otherwise certain death. During the next 5 days, he had 4 severe heart attacks. His left side was paralyzed, and his speech and the sight in his left eye were badly affected. Then, on Thursday, July 4th, Baba became sufficiently clear and strong to announce that a blood clot in his brain had been dissolved and there would be no more heart attacks. However, the left side of his body was still paralyzed, and his speech was thick and feeble. His followers believed it would take several months for him to recoup his good health. Guru Purnima, a religious festival day, was approaching, and many visitors had been congregating at the ashram. They were, of course, very upset and dejected by the stories they were hearing of Baba's condition. Not knowing the cause or believing it, they began to doubt. If Baba is God in human form, they asked one another, why is he afflicted with physical ailments? Why does he not cure himself? On the evening of Guru Purnima, July 6th, practically carried by several disciples, Baba descended the circular stairs from his bedroom to the crowded prayer hall below. The whole left side of his body was still paralyzed, and his speech was a feeble, scarcely intelligible mumble. A doctor present describes the scene. Quote, his gait was the characteristic hemiplegic one, the paralytic left leg being dragged in a semicircle, the toes scraping the floor. Seeing Baba in that condition, even the bravest wept aloud. End quote. For a few minutes, he sat in his chair on the dais before some 5,000 silent, sorrowful, deeply moved people assembled inside and outside the hall. Then he gestured for water. It was brought in a tumbler and held up to Baba's twisted lips. He drank some, then dipping the fingertips of his right hand into the water, he sprinkled a few drops onto his paralyzed left hand and leg. Next, he stroked his left hand with the right, then followed this by stroking his stiff left leg with both hands. T.A. Ramantha Reddy, a government engineer, was in one of the front rows and very close to Baba. He states, quote, "In a second, Swamiji's leg, eye, and entire left side appeared to become normal. It was a sight for the gods to see his sudden recovery, and the devotees present witnessed the greatest of his divine powers." End quote. Describes it this way, quote, "He rose and began his Guru Purnima discourse. People did not believe their eyes and ears. But when they realized that Baba was standing before them speaking, they jumped about in joy. They danced, they shouted, they wept. Some were so overcome with ecstatic gratitude that they laughed hysterically and ran wild among the crowd which came rushing in from outside. Baba was up on his feet speaking for over an hour. Then he sang a number of bhajan songs and finally climbed the stairs back to his room unaided. That night, he ate his normal meal, and the following days saw him back in his usual vigorous, hearty health, carrying on a full program of activities. The apparent stroke, which seemed to have come at his bidding, departed within the period he had foretold, leaving no telltale signs behind. In the discourse which Baba gave that night, he referred to this episode, quote, 'This is not Swami's illness. This is an illness which Swami has taken on in order to save someone else. Swami has no illness, nor will he get ill at any time. You must all be happy. That alone will make Swami happy. If you grieve, Swami will not be happy. Your joy is Swami's food.'" End quote. End of the quotation from Howard Murfitt's Man of Miracles. Later in the speech, Baba said, quote, "For those who have no refuge, God is the refuge. That is exactly the reason why I had to take on the disease that one helpless devotee was otherwise to get. He would have had to suffer this dire illness as well as four heart attacks which accompanied it, and he would not have survived. So according to my dharma, I had to rescue him. There is another reason, too, why the eight-day period had to be observed, something I have not disclosed so far, something which I have been keeping within myself for the last 37 years. The time has come to announce it." End quote. The following, in brief, is the story which Baba related to an enthralled audience. Quote, "Thousands of years ago, the great sage Bharadwaja, wishing to master all of the Vedas, the scriptures, was advised by Indira, the ruler of the gods, to perform a yaga, a Vedic ritual. Eager to have Shakti, the consort of Shiva, preside over it and receive her blessings, Bharadwaja left for Kailash, a sacred peak in the Himalayas, the abode of Shiva and Shakti, male and female aspects of God, to convey the invitation. Finding them coupled in the cosmic dance, Bharadwaja waited for 8 days, apparently ignored by them, although he had failed to comprehend the welcoming smile cast at him by Shakti. Unhappy and disappointed, Bharadwaja decided to return home. But as he began to descend, he fell in a stroke, his left side paralyzed as a result of cold and fatigue. Shiva then approached and cured him completely by sprinkling on him water from the Kamandalu vessel. Consoled by Shiva, Bharadwaja was granted boons by both Shiva and Shakti, who also were pleased to attend the yaga. Shiva promised the rishi, sage, that they would both take human form and be born thrice in the Bharadwaja lineage or Gotra, religious kin group, Shiva alone at Shirdi as Sai Baba, Shiva and Shakti together at Puttaparthi as Satya Sai Baba, and then Shakti alone as Prema Sai. Further, in expiation of an illness that Bharadwaja had suffered at Kailash, Shiva made another promise, quote, "This Shakti will suffer the stroke for 8 days, when we both take birth as Satya Sai, and on the 8th day I shall relieve her from all signs of the disease by sprinkling water, just as I did at Kailash, to cure your illness." Baba continued, "It was the working out of this assurance that you witness today. The assurance given in the Treta Yuga, the age long ago when all this took place, had to be honored. The poor, forlorn devotee who had to get the stroke which I took over was a convenient excuse which was utilized. The disease had to be gone through. The devotee had to be saved. The assurance carried out, and the mystery cleared. The divinity had to be more clearly announced by the manifestation of this grand miracle. All these were accomplished by this one incident. Let me tell you one more thing. Nothing can impede or halt the work of this avatar. When I was upstairs all these days, some people foolishly went about saying, 'It's all over with Sai Baba,' and they turned back many who were coming to Puttaparthi. Some said I was in samadhi, communion with God, as if I am a sadhaka, an aspirant. Some feared I was a victim of black magic, as if anything can affect me. The splendor of this avatar will go on increasing day by day. Formally, when the Govardhana Giri, a particular mountain, was raised aloft by the little boy Krishna, the gopis and the gopalas, milkmaids and cowherdsmen, friends and companions of Krishna, realized that Krishna was the Lord. Now, not one Govardhana Giri, but a whole range will be lifted. You will see. Have patience, have faith." End quote. Since his declaration that he is the embodiment of Shiva Shakti, the number of Baba's devotees has been increasing rapidly. Quote, "Prashanti Nilayam will very soon become another Madura, holy city, birthplace of Krishna, and Tirupati, another holy city in India, attracting hundreds of thousands of devotees, and many saints and sages will crowd at the Nilayam and achieve their life's ambition of eternal bliss," Baba has declared. Documented accounts of Sai Baba's powers must number in the thousands. Many have been collected in Howard Murfitt's exciting and informative book, Man of Miracles. Following is one of the most dramatic stories that I've heard, related here because of its uniqueness and its bearing on what happened to me later. It concerns the reported resurrection of Walter Cowan, allegedly brought back from the dead on Christmas Day in 1971. Dr. John Hislop, a former professor and corporate executive, now retired and living in Mexico, was a witness to this extraordinary drama. Here is a summary of his account. Quote, "Early Christmas morning, news spread among devotees gathered about Baba that an elderly American had suffered a fatal heart attack. Upon hearing the rumor, My wife and I at once went to the Cowans Hotel, where Elsie confirmed that her husband Walter had died. She had prayed to Sai Baba for help, and with great self-control and recollection of human mortality, had ended the prayer with, "Let God's will be done." Walter's body was taken to the hospital by ambulance. Later that day, when Elsie and her friend, Mrs. Ratanlal, went to the hospital, they found that Sai Baba had already been there as well. To their utter amazement, they found Walter alive. Recognizing the need for documentation of Walter's death in the form of medical reports and witnesses' testimony, Dr. Hislop investigated the matter fully. Quote, "At my request, Judge Damodar Rao of Madras interviewed the doctor who had attended Walter when he arrived at the hospital. The doctor's statement was that Walter was indeed dead when he examined him shortly after the ambulance arrived at the hospital. There was no sign of life. He pronounced Walter dead, then stuffed his ears and nose with cotton. The body was covered with a sheet and moved to an empty room. The doctor then left the hospital and missed seeing Sai Baba while he was there. Upon returning to the hospital after Sai Baba had left, the doctor found Walter alive. He was unable to explain this. Later that day, Sai Baba informed his devotees that he had indeed brought Walter back to life. He did not disclose the reasons for doing so, however. This remains a mystery he has not yet chosen to explain. There were two or three subsequent occasions on which Baba attended to Walter's health in an extraordinary manner. Dr. Hislop describes Baba's delivering a spiritual discourse and giving out awards at a meeting which he attended. After the meeting, Baba turned to Hislop and said, quote, "While I was talking in the meeting, Mrs. Cowan called me. I at once went to the hospital and did what was necessary. Mr. Cowan's health had taken a bad turn," end quote. Hislop continues, "So even while busy on the speaker's platform, Sai Baba had gone to the hospital and performed what was necessary. Yet to the eyes of my friends and myself, he had continued in speech and action on the platform the whole time. How does one explain this mystery?" End quote. When Walter had recovered sufficiently to be moved from Madras to Bangalore, he was described by Hislop as appearing extraordinarily well. Quote, "Dr. Ganeshwaran, with whom my wife and I had been acquainted for several years, was the Cowan's attending physician in Bangalore. He had obtained Walter's medical history with its specific laboratory tests showing severe diabetes of long standing and various other diseased conditions. He compared it with his own laboratory tests and could scarcely believe the results. Not only were the diabetic symptoms now completely absent, but the tests for other disease conditions proved to be negative as well. He claimed in amazement, 'Only the divine Baba, only God himself could do this.'" The following is an account by Walter Cowan himself of his apparent death and resurrection under the grace of Sai Baba. Quote, "While in the Connemara Hotel in Madras, 2 days after I arrived, I was taken very sick with pneumonia. As I gasped for breath, suddenly all the body struggle was over and I died. I found myself very calm, in a state of wonderful bliss, and the Lord Sai Baba was by my side. Even though my body lay on the bed, dead, my mind kept working throughout the entire period of time until Baba brought me back.
There was no anxiety or fear, but a tremendous sense of well-being, for I had lost all fear of death. Then Baba took me to a very large hall, where there were hundreds of people milling around. This was the hall where the records of all of my previous lives were kept. Baba and I stood before the court of justice. The person in charge knew Baba very well, and he asked for the records of all my lives. He was very kind, and I had the feeling that whatever was decided would be the best for my soul. The records were brought into the hall, armloads of scrolls, all of which seemed to be in different languages. As they were read, Baba interpreted them. In the beginning, they told of countries that have not existed for thousands of years, and I could not recall them. When they reached the time of King David, the reading of my lives became more exciting. I could hardly believe how great I apparently was in each life that followed. As the reading of my lives continued, it seemed that what really counted were my motives and character, as I had stood for outstanding peaceful, spiritual, and political activity. I do not remember all the names, but I am included in almost all of the history books of the world from the beginning of time. As I incarnated in the different countries, I carried out my mission, which was peace and spirituality. After about 10 hours, they finished reading the scrolls, and the Lord, Sai Baba, said that I had not completed the work that I was born to do, and asked the judge that I be turned over to him to complete my mission of spreading the truth. He requested that my soul be returned to my body under his grace. The judge said, "So be it." The case was dismissed, and I left with Baba to return to my body. I hesitated to leave this wonderful bliss. I looked at my body and thought that it would be like stepping into a cesspool to return to it. But I knew that it was best to complete my mission so that I could eventually merge with the Lord, Sai Baba. So I stepped back into my body, and that very instant it started all over again, trying to get my breath, being as sick as you could be and still be alive. I opened my eyes and looked at my wife and said, "You sure look beautiful in pink." End quote. After Hislop had heard Walter give this account, he asked Sai Baba whether Walter's experience was real or some sort of hallucination or illusion. Baba replied, quote, "The experience was a real experience, not an illusion. It was an experience occurring within Mr. Cowan's mind, and I myself was there directing and clarifying the thoughts. When asked if every person has similar experiences with death, Baba said, quote, "It is not necessarily so. Some may have similar experiences, some not."